And I missed the Aaron. I'm sorry. I missed that. What a joy, though, to know that you're serving. And by the way, the text we're in today in Luke chapter 12, if you have your Bible with you or smartphone or whatever, I want you to pull it up because this text that was chosen months ago for this date was before I knew that SOS was on this date. And it's a perfect text for today, as if God had in mind that we would be able to apply in a bigger way, in a deeper way, what he had for us here. Just a couple of things. I'd be happy to meet across the hall anybody who would be new here that would want to connect between services. Anybody has a question or prayer need or whatever, I'll meet you at the Connection Center. I'll just wait until the last person is there, so hang out and visit with you. Also, I want to mention that we have a mission trip to the Dominican Republic coming up, and there is still a need for financial help with that, so you can connect with our office and let us know. You can connect with Valerie, and if you know who she is on our missions team, and you can let us know if you want to help in that regard, but there is still a need for that. Let's dig into Luke chapter 12, and I want to begin with prayer. Father, you're great and holy. Everything you do is purposeful, is meaningful. And Lord, we come today recognizing that you even brought a text in front of us with the illustration of all of these young people out serving. And not only that, but we have a lot of people in our church body who go out and serve week after week, doing what you've called them to do with the gifts you've given them. You are so concerned about our eternity. You don't want us to be all in only for this little dot that is life here. You want us to be all in for eternity, and you want us to store up treasure for eternity. And if we were only to store up things for the very short life you give us here and not be rich toward you with the way that we live and the way that our generosity just flows from our life, then, God, we would have missed the point for our life. And you receive glory when we serve you in that way. So, God, we are just amazed at that. We know that you have our name. If we are a follower of Christ, you have our name written in the book of life. But also you have our name written on something here on this earth that you want us to accomplish with our short time here. And so, God, use us for your glory. We love you. We want to serve you well. And we pray that you would just allow the Holy Spirit to lead us now. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. What you got to recognize about this text is that what has been happening is Jesus has been drawing crowds. Every time you do something really like miraculous, crowds would show up. And so he's doing some pretty powerful things. He's healing. People who are blind are now seeing. People who have leprosy, and if you don't know what that is, you can look it up. People who have leprosy are now healed. As he went, the landscape was changing because diseases were going away. It was amazing what he was doing. And he's teaching with authority. He's teaching with an incredible heart of authority. So in this text, what happens is somebody comes to him with a rather mundane question. And you and I recognize, because I just ask you, by the way, this message is not about tithing, okay? And so if you're already closing your ears because you think, oh, it's about tithing, open them back up, because it's a whole lot more than that. By the time we're done, you're going to wish it was about tithing, because it's about your whole life. It is not just about, oh, God wants my money, and anyway, he wants your heart, but he wants everything about you. He wants you to store up treasure for eternity. But what was happening here was this guy asking a question just kind of pierces into the overflow of the miraculous that Jesus is doing. And he talks about something very mundane and very simple. And so let's pick it up right there in verse 12. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, I want to ask you, how often do you think about money? How often do you think about stuff? Hundreds of times a day, probably. If you're honest, there's probably nothing else you think about as much as your stuff and your money and your resources. And here on this earth is where it consumes us. Am I going to have enough? And if I don't have enough, what happens when I don't have enough? Anyway, what if somebody takes my stuff? We have all kinds of questions about it. But Jesus immediately, with this mundane question about inheritance, by the way, Old Testament would have said the oldest male could have gotten double the inheritance. We don't know the exact reason for that. It may have been they wanted to keep the family possessions and property together. That may have been the most important reason. And so maybe what he's saying here is, I think my older brother is going to take it and divide it even more, and I don't want it all divided. I want it together. Or he might have been saying, I want half of, again, what he got, because he got more than me. And it's not right. Not fair. You ever heard that statement in your house? And then Jesus said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take care. He turns back to the crowd and he says, take care. Be on your guard against all the covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's a hard lesson to learn, because we kind of think it does. Size of our house and car, what kind of vehicle we drive, kind of clothes we wear. That doesn't only matter in middle school, right? Kind of clothes you wear matters all the way through. We kind of size people up by how they're dressed. You know, I'm kind of like, I think I'm better than that person because I'm dressed a little better. Or you know what? Maybe I need to kind of slide under and be a little more concerned about being respectful to them because they look like they have more than me. That's how we size people up. As unfair as it is, as wrong as it is, we do that. And all of us do it. You know who we think is greedy? By the way, the Bible talks about greed a lot. You know who we think is greedy? Someone who has a lot more than us. We want to be the person who has a little more than us. The people that are greedy are people that we could never reach their wealth. Those are the greedy people, right? I mean, we're okay with wanting a little bit more than we have. In fact, the average American, a study that was done, the average American says, I need $10,000 more a year. Doesn't matter if you make $10,000 a year or $300,000. Everybody wants about 10 grand more a year. 11, maybe they're thinking about $1,000 more a month, a little less than that. Then I would be happy. I'd be okay. Our satisfaction is really hard to come by. And this guy wasn't satisfied. And Jesus had a parable. I love parables because parables give us something to hold on to. And they give us something we can walk away with and say, I can do that. In fact, I have to do that because he told me to. And he told him a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? Now I want to go back and say, what produced plentifully? What produced? The land. So who produced for him? God, right? God was faithful, okay? Can we agree on that? The land produced. Now he did some work, but the land produced. Jesus said, the land produced for him. Okay? That's critical here. And then he goes and thinks to himself, what shall I do? I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And then there I will store all my grain, my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool. Man, you're a fool. So you got to rethink this. This very night, your soul might be required of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? You know, one thing I can guarantee you with all the stuff that you and I have, we will either sell it, we'll lose it, or somebody else will take it when we die and they will abuse it and get rid of it anyway. That's what's going to happen to all of our physical stuff that we spend so much time thinking about and kind of wrapping our arms and our heart around. God called him a fool. Things that you prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself. Here's a really critical part. Don't forget this part. And is not rich toward God. You know what happens when you do a car wash like you did yesterday, and you give a dollar to somebody? They think they're going to pay you a dollar. So they would walk away thinking, I got a good deal. I paid them a dollar, and then they washed my car. I got a service for my dollar. I got a really good deal. But you flipped it on end, and you gave them a dollar. And that freaked them out, didn't it? Because nobody does that. Did you let air out of my tires? Did you scratch on the side of the car? What did you do? What is wrong with you? Did you take something out of my glove box? What did you do? Well, you give them a dollar, and here's what you say to them, and you probably did say this to them. Well, we just wanted to let you know that God loves you, and we got to deliver the message. And when you do that with no strings attached, what happens? People walk away and they say, that just is the craziest thing that happened to me just now. And they tell other people. And they say, why did they do it? I don't know, it's just some freaky kids from a church. Really? Were they freaky? Well, yeah, they loved Jesus. And they washed my car and they did a pretty good job. Did you do a good job? Yeah, you think so? The adults are saying yes too, so that, I agree. What you did with no strings attached is advance the kingdom of God. When you are rich toward others, and you're not saying, you know what, I can't spend my Saturday giving dollar bills away. I got to spend my Saturday storing up for me. Man, I got to get, maybe you at least got a suntan out of it or something, but I got to store up for me. I got to do what I want to do. You have that choice. We all have that choice, don't we? With our time and our energy and our resources, we all have that choice. But when we store it for God, then God gets to step in a beautiful way and connect dots that we can't connect. And then people walk away just baffled. What kind of a God do they serve? And you know what? In heaven, some of us in heaven are going to be blown away by the number of people who will come to you and say, by the way, you had a part in my eternal life. And I think others of us are going to be blown away by the fact that we walk around in heaven, we got to heaven, our rear end on fire, by the grace of God. There's a Bible passage I can back that up with. There is. And nobody's going to come and say, because you invested, I'm here. And man, I just breaks my heart that we might spend our eternal life in a place where little will have been done here to advance the purpose of God. One great theologian said it's the dot of life, just a little dot on a board that we invest all of our time in. And eternity is like a line that if you had a board, you would go off the end of that board and off the end of that board, because there's no beginning to eternity, no end to it. God is eternal. So you and I are going to live almost all of our existence either in heaven or hell, depending on what you believe about Jesus Christ. So why do you invest in the dot? When that line, invest in the line. Put things into play with your gifts and abilities and heart and passion that live longer than you. You want to leave a legacy? That's the way to leave a legacy. I was listening to a song yesterday. And it was about people remembering me for hundreds of years. And the only way to make that happen, because I think everybody wants to be remembered, the only way to make that happen is to invest eternally. Now, you might say, well, but is God, there's two ways that we can go off track on this. One way is to say that I believe that God wants to bless me with everything good, and then I'll decide what to do with it. God, I just want to win the lottery or something. I just want to be like a multimillionaire, and then I'll start to serve you. And we kind of treat God as a genie up in the sky. And God, you know, I just need to kind of rub you one time and get a good wish out of this, and you take care of me financially. And on the other side of it, some Christians say, I need to get rid of everything. I can't have anything for my enjoyment, because if I do enjoy anything, then I'm not serving God for his purpose. I want you to know both of those extremes, I think, are unbiblical. Because in Scripture, it actually tells us that we have been given by God some things to enjoy. Let's talk about handling earthly treasures really quick. Matthew 6:19-20. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, the issue is not how much we have. The issue can't be how much we have, right? If it is, why didn't, when I think of Zacchaeus, he gave a portion of what he had when he was repentant and wanted to follow Jesus. And even, let's think about people in the Scripture that God blessed. Look at Job's life. Job had what? He was rich, wasn't he? You know the story about Job in the Old Testament? He had wealth beyond compare, okay? He had all things the world had to offer. Now, what did God do with that? Gave the enemy the ability to take it away, right? And then he gave it back to him. I don't see God being anti-stuff, but I see God as being sovereign. I see God as being sovereign over our stuff. Now, you might say, but I don't like the book of Job. I kind of skip that one. Well, that's fine, but it's real. It's there. And when you look at Job, you have to understand that God is sovereign over all of your stuff. And he could demand even your own life today. And you and I have to remember, it's not about how much we have. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17 says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. Don't be prideful. Don't set your hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides with everything to enjoy." And there's the picture. God wants you to enjoy. Why did he give us 10,000 lakes in Minnesota if he didn't want us to go on them in boat? Why? He wants you to enjoy it. Man, my favorite is chocolate. I love chocolate. I praise God for chocolate. He gave it to me to enjoy, and that's the hardest thing for me to give away because I love it. But I want you to know that you all have financial stories, don't you? You have financial stories of great gain and great loss. Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what part of life stage you're at. You all have made good financial decisions or poor financial decisions. When we were first married, about 3 years into being married, our first child, my wife was pregnant with our first child. She went into labor while she was induced into labor. She had 19 hours of labor, followed by a C-section. Does that make you want to get married and have kids? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I remember I was rubbing her back, and during the time of labor, and I think I've told you all this before, but some of you are visiting today, so I was rubbing her back, and it was the only time, because I'm going, "Oh, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. Oh, you're great, you can do this. Oh, you're awesome." And she said, "Would you shut up? Just shut up." And I'm like, "I shut up." And I didn't even ask for permission to use the restroom for the next 18 hours. I was there. At her side. It's the only time she's ever said that in our whole marriage. So I gave her a pass there. I mean, I figured, why not? She was working really hard. So, 19 hours of labor, C-section. So the bills are mounting up. We had you remember what an HMO is? Some of you are like old enough to remember what an HMO is. We had an HMO. And the college I was going to, the seminary I was going to at the time, I worked as a residence hall director. We paid into it every month, an HMO, and it was supposed to pay for 100% of all medical care. And what happened was they went bankrupt right in the midst of that time. So we're left with, I don't know, $18,000 to $20,000 in bills right at the beginning of our married life. Now, I'm kicking myself saying, why did you ever sign up for that? You had another option of insurance. You could have gone with that, but you went with that. What an idiot. Why did you do that? I want you to know we all have those kind of stories about financial stuff in our lives. We look back, and some of them you regret. I know people talk to me between services and said, "Man, let me tell you my story." And some were, yeah, they're really good stories. Anyway, but the issue is our attitude toward what we have. That's the issue. It's a heart issue. This guy in the text was greedy. He was impoverished. He was wealthy from this world, but he was impoverished toward God. And Jesus pointed that out. He didn't say, "You can't enjoy anything." What he said was, you need to be able to recognize that you need to be rich toward God. You need to use your abilities and passion and stuff to bless God's kingdom. You know, greed always lets you down, by the way. Greed will always let us down. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils." It is through this craving, it's the craving that gets us, right? "Some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." I think of our care team this week. We have, by the way, communion at the end of the service. And we're going to take an offering at the end for our care team. Let me tell you one story about care team this week. Just this week. How the money you give goes to something meaningful. One of our pastors in our care team made a decision to help a woman who had gone through domestic abuse. I love that decision. because she was out on the street. She wanted to get home to be with family many, many, many miles away. She didn't have any family here, and now a guy abuses her. She's on her own. She's got her vehicle. She's got her stuff. She can't afford a truck to move it. And here she is. What do you do? So this pastor and care team, they stepped in and said, you know what? In the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to help you get to where you need to be. We're not good people. He's good. And in his name, we're going to give you something that you can't get yourself right now. The person had been to, I don't know, 10 or so churches, and they all said, no, we can't help. But we were able to. And so when I drove back one day in the afternoon, I saw a U-Haul, and I saw this pastor on our staff, and I saw this person, this woman who was here with her vehicle up on the tow thing behind the U-Haul and all of her stuff in there. And I began to think, that's the church. And you know what? She didn't attend here, but she came across our path. We can't help everyone, but we need to do what God tells us to do, right? And when he tells us to do something, we got to be obedient to it. But that is the heart of our God, and that is church. Church was happening in the parking lot, middle of the week. Not just here on Sunday morning. It was happening when you all did a car wash and gave somebody a dollar. That's church. And in a world that seems to be unraveling at a frightening pace, where people can't figure out what's right and what's left and what's up and what's down, the most important thing for us to remember is that the Lord Jesus Christ is seated on his throne, and he demands of us to be his followers and do whatever he would tell us to do. And you know what? You and I have got to invest. How do I know if my attitude is in the way? When I base my value on the amount of my possessions, I'm off track. When I start to go, you know what? I am worthy because I have a big paycheck. How do you size people up? I said it earlier. We size them up by, are they cooler than me by the stuff they have? What they drive, where they live, all that junk. Look at verse 15. Take care, be on your guard against all the covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Conventional wisdom says, I make this, I keep this. God's wisdom says, you know what? I'm asking you to give some of it away. I'm asking you to invest some of it in the kingdom. And the rule of thumb is typically give 10% to the Lord in his work, save 10%, put it away, and then 80% you get to enjoy. And then as you accumulate more, then you may give more and invest in God's purpose. But as you look at this, it's very, very critical that we get this. It's not conventional wisdom. In God's economy, the way to add to a sum is to take away from it. Figure that one out. Doesn't make any sense. He said, given, it will be given you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured onto your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Do you know what? I've had a lot of funerals, and you know what? The funerals that have like, 5 to 10 people at them, I mean, like, that's all the people that want to show up. Family members say, why would I come to his funeral? He had no time for me when he was alive. Greediest guy I've ever met. We think by clutching and holding on to things, we're going to have more. And the more that we hold on to something and grip it tightly, the less we have. The more that around us, we squeeze life out of things that are really important. Try it. I mean, if you want to, try being incredibly greedy. If you're not the unhappiest, crankiest, biggest jerk of a neighbor, then I would be shocked. Try it. Go down that road. See how happy it makes you. It's interesting. The opposite is true. In fact, there is a study. I don't have time to go into it, but there is a secular study that studies and did a study of 2,000 people. And it was against all conventional wisdom. Those who were generous flourished more in life than those who were greedy. If you want to flourish, I mean, just plain flourishing. I mean, why did you come here? Why did your parents probably shelled out the money for you to come here? Some of you earned it on your own. Why did you come here? I want to ask any of you, why did you come here? Why did you come to 5 days of serving God? Anybody want to answer? I know. Aaron, can you make somebody answer? Why are you here? Further his kingdom. Why are you here?
I suppose more to work on the relationship with God.
So there's something going on with your relationship with God as you serve others. Interesting. That's really interesting. Do you feel like you're flourishing when you serve? Or do you feel like it's, when you're serving, you know, people are taking things from you and you end up with less? Well, how do you end up coming away from that? Why does it matter to make people happy? Makes them feel good. So if you feel good and they feel good, then God feels good. You know, what's your name? What's your name again?
My name is Nat.
Nat? Nat, how you doing? I'm Mike. You know what, Nat? Here's the powerful thing about what you just said, is you're being obedient, right? And obedience always precedes blessing in our own life. We just don't get to see what, we don't get to determine what that blessing is. God determines what it is. But you walk away from it, and you come away from it knowing that there is something that you have invested. It's like putting a seed in the ground. And you come back later, and something is growing from that seed. That's God. God does that in our lives in powerful ways. And I know we need to run through this, but another way that you need, your attitude needs attention is when pride becomes evident. In verse 19, and I will say to my soul, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. What is enough? How much is enough? Any of you nearing retirement feel like we're good? We got it made. No matter what comes our way, we're good. What's enough? Rockefeller, who was one of the richest people in American history, they said, how much is enough? And he said, a little bit more. A little bit more. We're never satisfied. But let me ask you a question. The problem is, it can be our pride. We can be haughty toward others. In fact, there was also another study done, and the people we look down on the most, you'll never guess this. Well, maybe you will, if you know human nature. The people we look down on the most are people who have nothing. Homeless. You know what? In fact, maybe if you see someone who you don't know, they have a domestic violence thing going on, so you're out of a home, you have no place to go, huh? And you have no money. Well, why didn't you plan for that? Do you realize that we look down on people who have nothing? We do. Here's why. We think, if I was there, I would pick myself up by the bootstraps, I'd get my life together, and I would do better than them. If I were in their position, I would not be homeless. Am I right? That's the pride that he says, man, we gotta let God destroy that pride. Destroy it. I have no idea how my daughter would make it if somebody was abusing her and she were hundreds of miles away from us and maybe no access to a checking account, and all of a sudden she's thrown out on the street. How is she going to make it if somebody doesn't step in and be the hands and feet of God for her? Man, we got to get over our pride. And as a church, I'm just saying, that's all of us. I think we all have that, a little bit of it. Our attitude needs attention. Also, when I fail to remember, this provision is from God. God make you smart? Are you able to earn a lot of money because you're smart? Who gave you that? You all know who LeBron is? You know LeBron, basketball player? He recently said he's the best basketball player in the world. He's probably right. He's kind of arrogant, but he's probably right. He probably is right. Now, what if LeBron James said to you, oh, by the way, do my workout, you can be like me. Eat like me, you can be like me. Practice like me, you can be like me. Is that true? No. I mean, I played basketball. I got to my limit. Small college basketball, that's where my limit was. It doesn't matter how much I practice, what I eat, what I do with my life, LeBron started way ahead of me in ability. Where did he get that from? He got it from his creator. So for us to say, oh, you know, just kind of pull your act together a little bit. You know, just do what you need to do and it's all going to come together. You can be like me. You know what? I recognize that each of us have areas that we're really good at. And in those areas, stop and give God the credit. If he gave you physical ability, if he gave you musical ability, if he gave you intellect, if he gave you the ability to persuade others, you can persuade them for good or bad. But all of those gifts have been given by God, whatever they are, given by the Lord. Now, third and final, really quick. Set your heart on eternity. Treasure people over possessions. God blessed you so you could be a blessing toward others. And then finally, treasure eternal over earthly. In verse 20 and 21, God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, those, or whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. God's serious about your eternity. And I want to ask you today, if you're rich toward God, are you leading in your life with generosity? I had a quick lesson as our worship team comes up. I was helping my son and daughter-in-law get ready to move yesterday in the Des Moines area. Hustled down there Friday night, helped them yesterday, got back last night. And when I was helping them, they were clearing out their house and boxing things up and getting them ready. There was a set for the fire for the fireplace. It, pristine condition. I said, how many times you guys use your wood-burning fireplace in the years you've been here? He said, twice. So this set is in pristine condition, you know, to poke the wood and whatnot. Anyway, it's perfect shape. And I said, what are you going to do with that? Should we box it up? And he said, no, we're going into a home that has a different kind of fireplace. We're not going to need it. It has a gas fireplace. Won't need it. I said, what are you going to do with it? You can sell it at a garage sale or whatever. And he goes, you know, I don't need it. We're going to leave it here for the people who are moving in so they don't have to buy one. And I said, man, you can make a couple bucks at a garage sale. Why don't we just box it up? And he said, Dad, I'm leaving it here for the people who are following us so they don't have to buy one. And I'm like, duh, Mike. That's leading with generosity. Small, dinky thing, 30 bucks. Takes after his mother. Praise God for her. Isn't that good? I'm glad he does. But it was a small thing, and he goes, Dad, you don't get it. And his wife said, you know what? I always have to fight him on that because he always wants to give people things. And you know what? He said, you know, I just don't need it. God will provide. Let's lead with generosity like that, the way we live our lives. And then maybe in heaven some day down the road, in eternity, somebody's going to walk up to you and say, because you gave, because you served, because you lived for Christ, and you didn't clutch, but you gave away, I'm here. I was introduced to the Savior. Man, that'll be, won't you high five? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ. We're going to have communion now. We're going to worship you in communion. God, we praise you because you are life. I just pray that if anybody is saying, what is he talking about? Why would I invest in eternity? I don't even know Jesus. I don't even understand. God, I'm so thankful that you gave your son. You're such a giving God. You so love the world that you gave your one and only son so that everybody who would believe in his name would have eternal life. And Lord, you're a giving God. We follow your example. We don't clutch things. We say, God, what do you want to do with it? We invest them for eternity. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name.